We're going to start next, I'm hoping next week, with the consciousness of this love, and we'll complete it, but I'll show you where we are. But let's finish this aspect of it up tonight, if we can. Romans chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 4 and 5, and we're looking at that idea that I can make this love happen by something that I do, and work real hard at it. Work at it to some degree. It can be anything that a lot of people have, from simple confession of sin to, you know, I can work hard in various ways, make this happen. I'm so sorry, and this is not a judgment statement. This is just a statement of the opportunity when we know the world is watching and listening. And you know, right now, the Southern Baptist, what a wonderful opportunity to let the world hear something of truth. And while the issue is in Scripture about wives submitting, and now they're voting whether they want to vote, that they ought to make that one of their beliefs, that wives ought to submit, and all this type of thing, and fighting that. I'm sorry, that's in the context of Scripture of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. That comes right after, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the comma, and then encourage one another in song, and you just keep going down the list. And the next one is husbands love your wives, wives submit, husbands love, all part of the spiritual life. But they're not talking about that. Somehow or another, wives are going to do this out of the flesh. And what I'm saying here is, again, it's what we are presenting to the world. And it's wonderful to say the things that need to be done and that are in Scripture, but people, you just can't get up and say those things without saying how they're going to be done. Because it's no different than an unbeliever doing them, if we're going to do it in the power of the flesh. Okay, verse 4. But to the one, and we've looked at this, but I want to move to where we left off. But to the one who does not work, and this is the activity of doing something in the flesh, but to one who does not work, but simply believes. Now, here's the obedience that God is looking for. I guess I started really in verse 5, didn't I? Let's just read 4. Let's see here, so I can get with you in the same passage. Now, verse 4, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited or imputed or given to him as grace, but as to what is due because he's done the work. And then you come to verse 5, but to the one who does not work. And last week we closed off with looking at how perfect an illustration of Pharaoh telling the people, "Hey, you got to go work. They're lazy, and I got to work, and I got to do more work." And that's the thought of Satan. That's the thinking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The thinking of law. But to the one who does not work, same word for activity here, but believes. Here again is our obedience. What is the obedience that God is looking for? And it sounds so simple to you now. And you say, come on, let's go. You'd just be surprised. You took a million Christians, if you didn't find a million Christians, took a million Christians. I guarantee you're not going to find but less than a percentage you're going to understand the only obedience that we have is obedience to faith. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean we're the only ones right. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're the only ones that see it. I'm just saying that the body of Christ is trying to work, and that's why the church is in so much trouble today. Okay, but believe. This is the obedience that God is looking for. These two verses clearly pinpoint the battle that is going on in the spiritual warfare of grace, our works versus faith. And we receive from God by means of works versus we receive from God by means of faith. We receive His love in us, either by means of faith or by means of work. But to the one who does not work, but believes, obedience. Now, but believes in Him, let's continue, just continue the reading now, does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is credited, given to him, imputed, same word we had before, is credited as righteousness. His faith, not his work. Not his moral goodness. His faith is reckoned as righteousness. And we dealt last Wednesday night on those four circles, and we're going to complete the circles tomorrow night. But Let's just make this clear now. His faith, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. His faith receives the credit for imputation of righteousness. So, and here faith, the word faith, then is passive. He simply receives it. And this is what God is looking for. And he's going to be justified. What happened with Abraham? Under the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham believed and it was credited to him righteousness. Yes, twice in the New Testament, once in regard to his eternal salvation, once in regard to his life. So God the Holy Spirit produces this love that God is looking for. Now, let's just paraphrase Paul here. But go ahead and look at with me now. Now to the one who believes. Now to the one, or the one to the believer who works. It's by the verse 4. By the energy of the flesh, his wage, and this is to produce the love of Christ, his wage, what he's going to receive, is not credited on the basis of grace. In other words, he isn't going to get it because of something that God gives him, but on what is due. So you got those two great things. If I do for God, then God is going to do for me. That's the thinking of man. That's the thinking of Job. That's why Job had to go through his torment. That's the thinking of man. If I do for God, God will do for me. And so God owes me. And this is their kind of thinking right here. Alright, but to the one who does not work, who does not put forth energy of the flesh to produce this love, simply trust. Trust in the one whom God has sent, the Holy Spirit. In him, that is in the member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, who justifies the ungodly, and in our paraphrasing, produces spiritual love, his faith is credited, what? As love. He's going to produce this love. So again, our work is love. All right, let's summarize this aspect. One, what is expected of us? To love as Christ loved. What is not expected of us? What is not expected of us is to make the world a better and more wonderful place, to cause hate and division and separation. People, the church is filled with negativeness. The church is negative. The body of Christ is negative. Now, I've been working on Revelation. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I just going to see what the Spirit does, but I have been doing a lot of work. And part of the time that I've been working on is this whole thing about the Antichrist, which is just mentioned once. That doesn't make it less important. Don't stand up and scream at me. I know that. But if you took the way Christians talk, you'd have thought that it was mentioned in every chapter of every book of the New Testament. The church is obsessed. The fundamentalist aspect of the church especially. The fundamentalist aspect of the church is obsessed with the Antichrist. They hate. And I'm talking about the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about church. I'm just talking about mainly the fundamental part of it that we are kind of involved with, our aspect of it. They're filled with hate. They're filled with anger. They see the Antichrist everywhere. They are against everyone. Everybody's part of the Antichrist. Everybody's bad. Everybody's this. I mean, it is unbelievable to listen to fundamentalists, and yet you read the scriptures, and that's not what we're about. We're about his life. We're about encouraging one another. We are about edifying one another. We're supposed to be a positive element in society. But you listen to the radio programs and you read the books and it's just, man, everything in the world is just evil and horrible and they walk around negative. That's not what we're about. And you don't see those things. Yes. Are we to be against those things? Yes, people. When we get to study them, the impact of spiritual love, we're going to come to love. Spiritual love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Okay. Note that it doesn't say that love goes out and attacks unrighteousness. Love tries to clean it up. For you and me individually in our own souls and lives, no, we do not. But we don't go out and judge the whole world and damn the whole world and damn everybody in the world and everybody's going to hell and boy, they deserve to go to hell and everybody's immoral and we're going to attack and we're going to name names and we're going to cause everything we can. That's not right. But if you know where you stand, Well, it doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. But we're not going to attack everybody. We're going to supposed to be a very strong, edifying aspect in any society. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a light that attracts. But if all the world hears is condemnation, they're not going to be attracted to that. Everybody gets off and just kept pointing out all of the wrongs of everybody and how everybody's wrong here and everybody's wrong there and or the world's here and this is that and you just get enough of that negative stuff. That's going to be your session. I'm not sure that's the leading of the Spirit. If you got some mentors, come back with me. Yeah, I bet. That'd be fine. With the two, looking at this. Right, look at all these things that we're supposed to do, all that stuff we studied one another. What happens when believers are involved in this? And let me talk about unbelievers. Why we're out here causing this hate and this division and just seeing the Antichrist and all of the unbelievers and everything. Well, the only thing we have for an unbeliever, people, is Christ crucified and resurrected, is it not? That's the only message I have for them, is Christ crucified and resurrected. But that's not what the church is getting. 23, that we cannot work for this love that we are to produce, that we cannot produce it in the flesh. This love is not from ourselves. It can't be. And then 4, that this love is accomplished or produced by means of faith. We simply receive it. Faith is passive. We receive it. And 5, that someone else may do the work, and that someone else is God the Holy Spirit. So again, as we close out this segment, we have our goal. I'm going to try another 10 here. Dying out on me. I got so many. I need to use one to dine out. Okay, our goal, if you please, is spiritual love. The cause of this love is the Holy Spirit. The means of you and I tapping into that is faith. And this is what we have seen. Now, we've got a few things in between that we'll clear up when we start our next section. But this right here is the flowing momentum of what we have been looking at. This is the means by which you and I are going to tap into it. And people, it's so important to get this down at any point in your deal. I was talking with Marvin and then talking with another pastor. And, you know, let's just take something like invite Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, I've made a big deal about it, and let's suppose that somebody really does put faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the way they express it. The problem is, when they go to the next step, they're not going to see the faith issue clearly. Because when they go to the next step, they're going to want to do something else then. And the next step, like being restored from sin. And whereas if you start off in the very beginning realizing all that I can do is just trust Him, it's very easy to say, okay, that's what I do here. And then if I want Christ formed in me, it's very easy just to keep making it and see that's all that God has ever wanted from us is just this faith. So what we're here to do is to offer the world the solution, and this solution that we have to offer is His love. And that's what we're going to start in a little bit is the environment of love, the environment that it creates in your soul first, then in your environment, wherever you are. In other words, if you and I could in our mind, picture, and this is really what's happening, picture a dark world, a world in darkness. And people, it is in darkness. But to go around and cause hate and anger about it, and damn the darkness, and everybody that's in it, and just make it even worse, they're not going to do it. But the best thing they can do is wherever you are, when you are walking in the Spirit, there is the light of His love. That is in your home, in your neighborhood, in your office, in your social life, and in the local assembly. This is what the world is going to see in this darkness. It's right there, that little bit of His love demonstrated. And this is what we're going to see, the impact of the environment that spiritual love makes, first of all, in your soul, makes in your life. So, what is not done in your life, people, by the means of faith, to try to get something from God, you just have to realize it's sin. Now, what is sin? sin, it's anything, but it's not a faith. In other words, if I work for it, if I'm going to do something wonderful, I remind you, keep going back to the first story. In the order of the books of the Bible, the first story told historically in its event was Cain. And what did Cain do? People, he didn't shun God. Please get that very clear. He did not walk away shunning God. He said, no, I praise God. I praise God as the God who is the receiver of all things. And I am going to bring to God, I am going to give to God my best. My best. I'm going to work for Him. Right from the very beginning, we have this whole thing. You can't make this last. Then I have to leave that means of faith. And God said, I don't want this. I want my best. I want what I get. But if you just look at this, if we want to look at this one way, he really looks unfair. God looks unfair. Cain's offering his best, and God says no. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're trying to offer God their very best. And he doesn't want our very best. He wants to give to us his best. Okay. We're here now, close this up. We're here now to proclaim the more excellent way. We are here to pursue the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians, let's turn there real quick to orient us. We continue in our movement. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Kind of ties in with even tomorrow night dealing with happiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we look at the very last verse of chapter 12. Okay. And I show you a still more excellent way. Now, you get to decide what is the more excellent way of life for you. Gains in the cosmic realm and in the human realm are those things that are spiritual. And namely, spiritual love is what he's going to go into. People, we're here to offer the world a more excellent way. That's all we're here to offer them. A more excellent way to with God. We're here to offer them a more excellent way in their own life. And we have it. And that is, it's very difficult today because America is extremely prosperous. Extremely prosperous, and many, many Americans have, and they don't see their need. But at the same time, many, many Americans are very miserable, unhappy, even with all the things that they have. And so what you and I do is that we are going to offer it. We're going to proclaim this more excellent way. Remember also that spiritual love does not save from us. Spiritual love does not save. The means of salvation is our faith. Our faith. But it is faith that saves us, not love. Why? Because faith is passive. It receives from God. Love is active. It goes out. I love what James Grayson Machen wrote in his book, What is Faith? It's a great book on faith. Quote, love, of course, Machen is, he was with the Presbyterian Church and had the great battle with Pearl S. Buck, and they finally kicked Machen out. Really, it wasn't much like they kicked him out. They just so humiliated. He just walked out and formed Trinity Seminary, Westminster Seminary, and went his own way. But he said this, love according to the New Testament is not the means of salvation, but it is the finest fruit of it. That's beautifully stated. It's not the means of salvation, but it is the finest fruit of it. A man is saved by faith, not by love, but he is saved by faith in order that he may love. And that's my position, that this is one of the reasons that we are saved. One of the reasons we are saved is that we can love as God has loved. So our objective, our work, our goal is faith to produce this love. Faith is not the end. I've been doing a great deal of talking. We've been doing a great deal of study about faith. Faith is not the goal. Faith is not the objective. Love is the objective. spiritual love, loving as Christ. The reason I emphasize faith so much is that faith in the Holy Spirit is the way that we do this love, get this love going through it. But it's not the goal. The goal is to love as Christ loved. And we saw this in Galatians chapter 5. We don't need to turn there again. But this is the goal, to love as Christ loved. Let's kind of summarize where we are then. One, faith by means. One, I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. One, faith by means of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross becomes effective for salvation. Faith by means of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember, what I'm saying here is faith doesn't save you. We're not saved by faith. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our salvation is the work of God. Don't ever think your faith saves you. That would be making faith a work. You're not saved by faith. You're saved by the work of Christ on the cross. But under point one, faith is the means of which we tap into the work of Christ on the cross, and it's effective to our eternal salvation. So faith is effective for salvation only because of the person and work of Christ on the cross. Two, faith by means of the power of the Holy Spirit becomes effective for spiritual love. Again, our faith doesn't produce spiritual love. The Holy Spirit produces spiritual love. But what is the way that we tap into it? Simply by faith. Three, faith by means of the power force of spiritual love becomes effective in your life. Now, this is a powerful point. What I'm saying here is that we are to walk in faith. And the object of our faith is the Holy Spirit. And this becomes effective in our lives of spiritual love. Now, tomorrow night we're going to see it's effective to love and joy. Love and joy. For those of you that may not have been here last week, we got into a little discussion about happiness, joy, those two words. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow night. But just staying with this word right now. The Holy Spirit, once we walk by faith, and this is where we stop our production. This is where we stop our obedience. But look what starts happening into your life. Love starts coming into your soul and your life. Happiness starts coming into your life. And inner peace, which a lot of people would love to have. They're so unpeaceful in their soul. And there's so much turmoil, really, in their soul. And it's a shame because there's no reason for them to be in a lack of peace. But the Holy Spirit starts this. So our life can start taking on all of these things if we will walk by this means of faith. Four, Jesus Christ did the work on the cross. The Holy Spirit does the work in our life. God the Father sent Jesus Christ for our eternal sanctification. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit for our experiential sanctification. But the way that we tap into their work is by faith. Spiritual love works and produces all these 16 impacts that we're getting ready to look at here pretty soon. But it's by the work of the Holy Spirit doing them. Six, when Scripture says that faith works through love, it means that by means of our faith, not through our doing, through our work, but by means of our faith, we're simply allowing God to work in our lives. So what is faith? It's submitting. It is, a lot of people like to use the word yield, and I have fun with them. I say, okay, what do you mean by yield? I want you to tell me how I yield. But how would you tell me to yield to in this? And we end up with, and I don't even kind of, I just talk with it, let it go. It's by faith. Faith is how we yield. Faith is how we submit. What's humility? Humility is walking by faith and not by my own doing. What's arrogance? Arrogance is refusing to walk by faith and walking by me doing it, me doing something for God. So that it is by faith that we create the environment of this love, being long-suffering and not boastful and not arrogant. And people, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have fun with this, supposedly when we did it years ago, how these things affect us personally in our homes and our marriages and our families and the church, but in society also. I don't know why the Spirit just seems to be taking me right now on the Christian impact in society. That Christians want so much to have a coalition and that we want to put the Ten Commandments, that Christians want to unite into various types of bodies and do different kinds of things in society. Boy, if we only knew how much power we had just by walking in the Spirit. We don't need That's why we're not made in the scriptures a denomination and all this type of thing. You'd just be surprised what the power of the Holy Spirit could do in your office. You'd be surprised what the power of the Holy Spirit could do in your home. What it could do in a bedroom. What it could do in the playroom. And what it can do in the office and in your social life and in your family. And what it can do in society. If we just had Christians walking by faith. Not trying to have some kind of correlation being against this and for that and have everybody vote for this, vote for that. You have something far more powerful. As powerful as a vote is for a citizen, spiritual life is for a Christian. That powerful it is. But we just don't trust the Spirit. We just don't trust God here. We want to make something happen. So we have the cause, the Holy Spirit. We have the means. And the means of receiving this power, receiving this love, is going to be by our faith. Spiritual love, therefore, is as easy as faith. Just studying how difficult it is and all the things about it. But spiritual love is as easy as faith. Spiritual love is as close to you as is your own soul. And we're seeing this in the crisis of faith. A very important study, the crisis of faith. I'm just amazed at how some pastors, people, they're just so confused on how faith works and what the crisis of faith really is and what it can bring about. But spiritual love is as easy as your faith. And it doesn't require a whole lot, just a little bit, if we just trust Him. Unfortunately, we don't trust. So this is in the midst of what we have been studying. Okay, this sets us up then for next week. I'm not going to just take up time to be taking it up. I've said the major things here. I have a few things down here, but this lines us up. Now next week we're going to start a whole other section, and we have taken a look at the goal. And at one time I called it the work, but I think we've seen that really our work is faith, so that's not really a good title for it. So we'll call it the goal, the command, the objective, and that is spiritual love. We have seen freedom. We have to be free to love. You have to be free to love. And Christ set us free at the cross. And then we went from there to the cause of the love, and then the means of the love. And now we have just a couple more things that I want to take a look at. And next week we're going to start with the consciousness of this love. And look at some things we have not looked at in that regard. Okay, tomorrow night, happiness. And just continue where we left off last Wednesday night on that one. All right, before we leave, means. Any questions on means? Of spiritual life. Instead of the cause and means. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it sounds so simple when we assemble ourselves, look at it in Scripture as we have had the privilege of doing now in this means of love for the last month or so. But Father, we're reminded that we take the communion once a month here. You have given us the communion to participate in it occasionally. And the reason being is, Father, because it becomes so easy to start walking by the flesh, to start walking by law. We don't like what's happening in ourselves. We don't like what's happening in society. And we drift so quickly away from just trust and immediately go to work. We react to the sins of the world and even to our own sins and go to law. And so, Father, while it sounds so simple and sometimes our ears get tired of hearing it, it's still so easy to go to law and it will happen in a day. We can never forget and never hear too often that the means of this love is just to trust you. It is because, Father, you want, you desire this love, the love of your Son, to be reflected all over the world. That is the light that will be seen in a dark world, is the love of Christ. That is the love that will be seen. That is the light, His love. And it will only be seen when we're walking in the Spirit and in saving spirits alive to one another. Pray, Father, you take these things we've seen now in this portion of our study. Keep them ever mindful in our souls, and we will reflect it. Lord, Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Take these prayer lists home and use them in your own privacy.